Hello, I'm James. I've been a Seinfeld fan since the 90s.
Hello, I'm Steve. I watched the Seinfeld pilot when it was first shown in the UK, but it didn't click, and I walked away. Over 25 years later, I'm having another go for science.
And together we're watching the entire Seinfeld series and making our own commentary track in another Seinfeld podcast we call Hello, Newman. Swoosh today. Haven't had one of those for a long time.
Wow, okay, swoosh time. Nice. That's nice to see.
This podcast is brought to you by Nike.
Welcoming us back in the saddle.
That's right. The we haven't done this since last week. It definitely hasn't been about 3 weeks for us.
No, of course not.
Since we last recorded one of these. Except it has, hasn't it? So it is back into the saddle for us. It's nice.
Yeah.
But we're here to bring you another episode of Seinfeld. On this occasion, watching it on Amazon Prime in the UK. We're going to be watching episode 21, because there was a two-parter in this season.
Yes.
So it is a 22-program series, but really, technically speaking, for all intents and purposes, 21.
Yeah.
And it's called The Keys. Shall we just get on and watch some Seinfeld, Steve?
I think we should.
Yeah. Okay.
This is a momentous occasion, the last episode of the season.
It is, yeah. Last episode of the season. You may have found, we'll talk about this a little bit at the end, you may have found that we've previously billed that this would be an extra long episode and we'd talk about the entire season after this. We're not going to do that. This is just about The Keys, this episode. Next week, we'll be along and we will review the season in a show of its own. A season recap and wrap-up special extravaganza. There will be dancers, singers, elephants on very large balls wearing tutus, that sort of thing, jugglers, clowns.
Yeah, yep. The whole shebang.
The whole shebang.
Yeah. We will have an entire shebang with us in the next episode, and no mistake.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to shebang coming out from the DCU in 2023, which is very exciting. I can't wait to see who they get to play.
Sorry, it's not shebang. It's just check the notes. It's shebangs. We've got Ricky Martin doing a number for us as well next week.
Yeah, and he's going to be in the movie, and ironically, his mole's going to be the villain. Okay, so I guess without further ado, I'm at all zero, Steve. We've got a new TV, we've got a new monitor to watch this on as well, which I don't know about you, I'm super excited about.
I'm very excited. I get to see even bigger.
Yeah, and also the program. So I'm at all the zeros, and I'm going to press play now. The Ginsu knife, Steve.
Yeah.
It's a reference that I understood. I've seen adverts for this couple. Sorry, I meant to say that couple just randomly sitting there. They're so heavily featured, yet they're never featured again ever.
No.
Yeah, I remember seeing these adverts for things like the Ginsu knife.
That's right. Not available in any stores. Call now.
Exactly, and that was before QVC in this country. So it's the only way that you could acquire things through watching TV.
Which meant that you were watching TV in the very small hours of the morning.
Well, which is, you know, Back when this was coming out, I was, you know, I was young, mate. You know, that's what I did. Mm. Early 20s, you know, carefree, and didn't finish work till 11. So, is it just me, or does the bass sound a bit depressed there?
I hadn't really thought about that.
It's been a long season, and the bass is exhausted. A return of the Seinfeld in a monologue.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a question. They're not PJs, are they, that Kramer's wearing?
I don't know. I think that's his loungewear, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Because it's ever such a shiny shirt. Looks like a sports car.
Yes.
Hmm. I find
I never really considered before that Kramer would be letting himself into the apartment any time at all.
Oh, yeah. No, this is very interesting, this whole sequence. But didn't you find him really super sincere and reassuring when he said, it's just me?
Yes.
Like, I think I'd want Kramer comforting me after something awful happens. Now, watch out now for the Kramer in the bath here. Watch out for the bubble that takes up residence on Jerry's head. There we go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Bubbles actually... And they're still there! So, do you think they added bubbles for continuity when they did the wide shot? Or was it just because they had three cameras on it they were able to edit to the... Yeah. I had a look at this actress's IMDb. Wichita refers to a serial killer who was popular in Wichita at the time.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah, she did virtually nothing. She was in SNL playing a character, and this. And that's it as far as IMDb is concerned.
Oh.
I don't know why. It's a shame. She's very good. I like her very much. Sorry, it's the BTK killer from Wichita.
Well,
they were referencing. Never.
So we're going all in at the moment.
Yeah.
The start of this episode is going all in on the fact that Kramer has 24/7 access to Jerry's apartment. And not just because Jerry leaves the door unlocked and has an open apartment policy while he's in.
Yeah.
But also Kramer gets access while Jerry is out.
He's got keys.
He has the keys.
He's got keys. Like these little Kramer's girlfriend. I like her slow-mo collapse. It was a really good... I don't know if her character's meant to be drunk. I assume she is. But
even know if the actress was aware that she was going to be so involved in that pratfall.
Possibly not. But I love that she went with it. Sure. I actually think that's some really good... Because it didn't look choreographed.
No.
But it also looked true to the character. 10 out of 10.
10 on 10.
Yeah. I guess it never occurred to me that when you do 10 out of 10, it looks like the first 10 is having a little piggyback on the second 10. Now, you might notice that although Elaine is extravagantly covered at times during this, I believe this was filmed really early on, prior to the parking lot, I think.
Oh, okay.
If I remember right. Let me just check where my handy reference, which I should have open on this page, but I don't. But our vamp is fine. It was shot for the parking space.
I see.
I beg your pardon. So only a few weeks ago in reality, but she's definitely less big than you would expect, but there's... Kramer doing a very, very convincing impression of a man who doesn't care that he doesn't have the keys anymore. But I think her premise has now been fully set up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jerry has taken the keys off, and deep down, he's given Kramer some hurty feels. Love Kramer's set of keys.
Great prop, love it.
If you're walking home at night with those in your hands, that's a weapon, isn't it? Reminds me very much of Sid's keys.
I'm just wondering what kind of pair of trousers would have a belt loop strong enough to have all of those keys attached to it.
Oh, American belts. I've always just assumed that American belts are stronger than European belts. Are fey...
Yes, that's... Yes.
European belts. Very true. It's a very good background acting with that guy... Doing the crossword there, he just erased something he got wrong, and he's really quality, good quality background acting in Seinfeld at all times. So Kramer, obsessed yet not obsessed.
That's right, yeah. He's reflecting on, he's examining his relationship with the keys.
Yeah.
But speaking about them in such a way that he wished he'd still had the keys.
Yeah. The keys have changed his life.
One spare key to move them all.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Lord of the Keys, it's good. Yeah. Tolkien's lesson on work. His hair's got very tall by this point of the season, hasn't it?
It's got life.
It really has.
Life.
It's become the full Kramer, I'd say, by now.
Interesting that Kramer talks about the kind of almost living vicariously through Jerry's lifestyle by having that access.
I think, they almost, to a certain extent, surely. Jerry's got such an exciting life, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He looks like a yearner.
Oh, I believe it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you think about it. George, Elaine and Kramer have got quite dull lives. We don't get to see the interesting parts of Jerry's life, really, because he's a travelling road comedian. So, we saw him a few scenes ago, coming back clearly from a gig that was required a plane trip.
Mm-hmm.
They must, to a certain extent, be sort of leeching off his life. Sorry, I just got distracted by the cowboy-looking dude that came in and is now in the background. He looks a bit like, what's his name from The Big Lebowski? Sam Elliott?
That's
right. Sam Elliott. He looks like a dime store Sam Elliott.
But another thing that we're getting out of this scene that we we've had some teasers, but we haven't really had much of, is these two in conversation.
Yeah.
Is Kramer and George actually spending some time and talking about whatnot together.
Yeah,
sometimes they George has been the psychic to Kramer or the other way around, but it's been for comedy or been very short.
Yeah.
They're spending time together.
It's a deep philosophical conversation they're having.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think that's one of the things... we can touch on this stuff. Definitely one of the things that has happened. Good callback. Which is something that's entered into our lexicon of our friendship. since watching the episode, we quite often say these threats. In fact, I've been sending you videos of my daughter.
That's correct.
Intermittently saying these pretzels are making me thirsty. One of the things I think we've seen over this season is the development of... I mean, obviously, the development of all of the relationships, but George and Elaine, and Elaine and George with Kramer, that relationship of the peripheral characters has definitely developed a great deal. You know, George is alone with Elaine in this scene. You know, George is, they're all having time alone with each other away from Jerry. Okay, so this is another scene here where... they're really pushing out the boat to hide her pregnancy.
Yes, definitely.
Because who washes up with a fold-up table of towels? Presumably tea towels, because that tea towel she's got is very luxurious.
Yes.
I mean, who does that? They're tea towels. She's got like 15 tea towels on there. But the tray and the script all now used to cover up.
Yep. There's always something.
I think
get some new friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she knows it.
So we're getting a tangled web of key sharing, key loaning, key guarding, I suppose.
Oh. Thank you once again for mentioning the podcast, Jerry. It's much appreciated. Hello, Newman. Sorry, Steve, gone.
But, we get into the politics of who has whose keys. That's what this episode is about. Mm-hmm. But how about this? Abusing the trust of Kramer with the key.
Yeah. Jerry really menacing Newman in this. Can very clearly see how terrified of Jerry Newman is.
Mm.
But another brilliantly overblown performance by Wayne Newton.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah. He's really got Newman now. I don't think we've seen a performance like that since Bookman. Here we go, start of the road trip. Kramer's off to LA. Do you think Larry Charles was taking a break when he wrote this page? Kramer dances in car. Car breaks down.
Eating, dancing, driving. He's a man of many talents.
Yeah.
Perhaps not a car mechanic.
Mm. Kramer's such a versatile... He must be great to write for, because you can literally do anything with him, because he can be super. He can go everywhere from super smart to the biggest idiot in the world, and it's all convincing. So we are the recriminations of Kramer leaving. He's gone, Steve.
Gone to California to pursue his acting dream.
La La Land.
He caught the bug, don't you know?
From, he did.
That one line.
Surely. But I can imagine. They're eating the mini rice cakes, aren't they?
They are. I wish they were mini pretzels.
They should be mini pretzels, shouldn't they? And they should say, once again. Although maybe it would have been fun, these mini rice cakes are making me thirsty. Because they do make you thirsty.
Yeah, that's true enough.
Because they actually do literally absorb moisture. I like that. Oh, that's a nice little subtle. It's not the last time we're going to hear this piece of music.
Oh, okay.
This is a comeback. Not related to Mrs. Kramer, though. Oh, maybe next season even. So that's Kramer next to some dead trees. I'm sure it is the next time we see him at the side of the road. I think he's already made it to LA because it looks like he's by some marijuana plants. Oh, it had to happen, didn't it? Jerry's forgotten his keys. If only he had an alienated Kramer, he'd just been over the road. No mobile phones.
It was a lot harder to get your spare key back in the day.
No mobile phones. Yeah, I mean, in New York now, probably be contactless entry, wouldn't it? So this is, I love this. That is definitely Los Angeles he's in for that outside shot. Of course, because Seinfeld's recorded in it, was recorded in L.A. But this is the story of calamity of the motorcycle crash progressively getting worse. I think this episode really leans on Michael Richards' rubbered face, doesn't it? It's something you can't write if you don't know. You know, you can't write this early in a run. You have to know your performer to write this particular scene. Got to feel a little bit sorry for the guy that played the motorcyclist, don't you?
Sorry?
Got to feel sorry for the guy that played the motorcyclist, don't you? Oh, I'm going to be on Seinfeld. Oh, I can't wait to see you. Well, I'm probably going to have my face completely obscured. But even on the road, Kramer can really attract them, can't he?
Oh, yes.
Like a magnet.
There's always a story following that man.
Yeah. Okay, so George has met him in Monk's, so... Took me a while to work out what was going on here. But, he wants George to let him into Elaine's apartment, betraying trust again. I mean, is Jerry a bad guy in this?
I wouldn't say bad.
No?
No. I wouldn't say bad. I wouldn't say evil. I wouldn't say Machiavellian. I think maybe a little entitled.
Yeah.
I mean, you could call that bad.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's not a deliberate thing on his part, really.
Yeah.
It's just the expectation he has of the company he keeps.
Yeah. Line delivery from... here we are. I'm sure this is where it looks like. Oh, no, maybe not.
From the Mystery Machine.
Yeah, absolutely. With the Manson family, by the looks of things. It's funny, because actually, when I first watched this, I didn't really know about the Manson family and sort of the end of the hippie movement and stuff. So I thought, oh, these are just, you know, cool dropouts. But they're definitely... Because even when he gets his knife out, it was just like, oh, he's the weird hippie. It's only later on that they're like Manson family types, aren't they? Oh, this is actually quite scary. Sorry, I really wanted to mention, I'm going to go back a scene. I want to mention Jason Alexander's delivery of the lines about the series of events vis-a-vis the keys was just brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Really fast, complicated dialogue to deliver just so bloody good. Oh, of course they love Kramer. Why would they not fall in love with Kramer immediately? What's happened, do you think, to Elaine's flatmate?
Oh, what was her flatmate? Tina, right?
Tina, yeah. Just sort of seems to... Tina's just been sort of...
I can't even remember the last time we saw her.
Bumped off shot, wasn't it? Episode where she was with Kramer and they were doing unusual dances.
Yeah. I don't think she appeared again after that.
I don't think she did.
We had the nose job after that as well, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think she was in that.
Tina was supposed to be away for a month or something.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, and then she's just been away longer.
Maybe something awful happened to her.
Oh, no.
It's another lovely performance here. I like it, though, because there's some real sexual tension in this.
Oh, yes.
In this scene. It's good. I really like the interior of her rig as well. It looks kind of looks boudoir like in the back there. It's that sort of padded beige leather. I'd quite happily spend an evening not in a sexual way, but it looks like it'd be a really luxurious place to be. He's not very good at double clutching, is he?
It's just not his day with vehicles in general.
Yeah. I love how immediately she realises what a dreadful mistake she's made. So twee, Elaine's apartment, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And she had a well-decorated bedroom, which we saw many, many episodes ago. But yeah, it is incredibly twee. I don't know if that's really her taste, though, or if that's something she feels like she should be having.
Oh, it almost certainly is all pretension. It's all sort of weird objet d'art and far too grand paintings in far too grand frames. So Murphy Brown.
It's a real life thing.
Didn't really show over here, did it? I don't remember it showing in the UK.
It could have been on Sky One, because back in the early 90s, Sky One would have literally bought and shown anything.
Yeah, that's true. I remember it being a thing, I think because I used to read Mad magazine.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure I read the parody. But yeah, she secretly... shouldn't be a surprise she considers herself a writer, is it, given she's a copy editor?
Of course.
Yeah. But such betrayal... They really are like a couple of schoolboys in this, aren't they? Yeah. I feel really bad for her once. I had a stab at writing poetry once and accidentally left the book that I was doing my poems in where my parents could find it.
Oh,
that wasn't a good idea. So it did feel a little bit like that bit from The Wall where the teacher says to the lad he considers himself a poet. It's not good. Oh.
They don't know their keys.
Key confusion. So nice chessboard top he's got on there. Venice Beach.
Oh, yes.
He's made it in one piece. And here we are settling down to watch a nice episode of hit sitcom Murphy Brown. First time collaboration between the two networks.
Mm-hmm.
CBS, NBC. Big deal. Big deal.
But they're having a very interesting discussion here, don't you think?
Absolutely.
About writing a sitcom. And writers make money.
Writers make money, yeah, absolutely.
Larry, very 90s attire they're both wearing.
Absolutely. It is a sharply written episode in terms of the dialogue by Larry Charles. Mm-hmm.
Did the mumbly thing again.
Yeah, oh yeah, I like that. That's a nice little runner in this particular episode. Oh, so Kramer's on Murphy Brown. It's in reverse. We're not going to see it. It's on the telly. And they're watching it. And they're going to comment on it. Oh, my God! It's Murphy Brown and Kramer. Who, ironically, is clearly heavily pregnant. But I am. What's so beautiful about this is obviously meant to be a scene from Murphy Brown. And they leaving all of Kramer's idiosyncratic tics. And he's bumbling about, clearly not knowing what he's doing. It's fantastic.
The face he pulls while he's doing it as well.
Oh, the typing. Terrified by the printer. It's fantastic. I love... So, this stand-up starts. And I wasn't really paying attention last night to what the time was. And I was watching this. Oh, this is the sitcom he does in the middle of the show. It's brilliant. So the second half of the show will be on any second.
No, and it's done.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep,
story's done. We can talk about that in a minute. But wow,
yeah,
aren't you meant to give a clue to the audience that the program's lighting up?
Well, they will be doing that very, very soon with the fact that some words come on.
Yeah, there you go.
And speaking of credits.
Yeah.
We're going to do a credit watch special.
Brilliant. Okay. Strap in, people.
I'm not going to do the time codes because it'll just mean it's so
work
difficult.
It out for yourself.
So we start with the amazing mind-reading Jerry. I've got one for everything. Forgotten how to drink, Jerry. not really sure what's going on there. How am I getting up there, Jerry? never mind, not doing it. And then following that, it's like, are you kidding me? I'm not climbing that, Jerry. But if the price is right, Jerry, then you certainly would. And there we go. That's how I'm the man I am today. And I can't even hold a single post, Jerry. And that is a Credit Watch special.
Brilliant. That was a beautiful Credit Watch special. Steve, what a perfect way to cap series series three. That was a beautiful thing to experience. I cannot thank you enough. I'm absolutely overcome. Steve, that was season 3, episode 21 of Seinfeld.
Yes.
Do you have any opinions on that, or should we just go?
I think we've done our job, haven't we?
Okay, see ya.
It's been a few weeks since I watched this episode and took my notes.
Okay.
In an inside baseball perspective. So watching it that time serves as a bit of a refresher. But also, it's not so fresh in my mind that I can call things back very easily.
Yeah.
So this will be interesting as I work from my notes. Let's see if I remember what I meant. I quite liked it. It was a pleasant, focused, no nonsense sort of an episode.
Yeah.
Very brisk. As you were saying there at the end, before you know it, it's over. You think, oh, but stand up, we'll have something else to follow.
Yeah.
No, it's done. Flies by so quickly.
Very quick.
Because it's actually quite busy. There's a lot going on. I enjoyed that we had a story where we could lean into Kramer's use and abuse of Jerry's flat.
Yeah.
His over-familiarity with Jerry's place, with the apartment, but not necessarily Jerry.
No.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Loves Jerry's things.
Yeah.
Loves living vicariously through Jerry's life, but doesn't have the presence of mind to really feel like whether something's okay with Jerry or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he abuses the key privilege.
Oh, he's taking him for granted, mate.
Absolutely. And the whole idea with the working a bit out of people looking after each other's set of spare keys.
Uh-huh.
Was a nice idea to play with.
Yeah.
The relationship on who has whose keys gets very confusing and convoluted, and I enjoyed the growing angst over who gets to have the other's keys.
Yeah.
Because there is a status attached to this. It's not just doing someone else a favor. And then obviously the payoff where it's got all so jumbled up that no one knows whose keys is who anymore. So that was kind of a nice little fun thing. And then I guess it goes somewhere. If you just looked at this episode in isolation, Kramer just going, I'm off to California, would seem a bit odd.
Yeah.
that he would do that, and that's how you end the season, and perhaps that's how you end the show. Obviously, by this point, they knew they had a fourth season, and they had an idea where they were going. So this definitely feels like this isn't over in this story. How it was set up was really interesting. We referenced episodes that have already happened in this season. It gives him a reason to go. It's not like he's just made something up on the spot and it's convenient for that week's episode. It all comes from somewhere. As we said earlier on as well, we got as an additional benefit out of that the fact that Kramer and George spent some screen time together.
Yep.
That was fun. It also goes some way, I think, to address ongoing points with George, specifically his almost entrenched arrested development. And again, that's probably something that we will see moved forward, perhaps, in the next season.
Do you think?
I mean, there's obviously like a longer-term plotty character thing going on with Kramer, but also it just helps break up the thing with the keys as well.
It's a road trip!
It gives us some fun little asides. It gives Michael Richards some stuff to play with, so that's pretty nice as well. And as I said, it all looks like it's got a life beyond this one episode. Yeah. It's going somewhere. It's like, you know, stick around. We've got something else coming up. So,
do you think
No, it's gone.
Do you think that we've reached a point where finally there's kind of parity with the players? So no one has really preeminence in terms of the importance of the characters. They're all kind of vital now.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's balanced out really well. We had some things earlier on in the season where it was still quite imbalanced. I think the pen is a case in point for that one. But this at the end of this season, this episode is not Jerry and Jerry and then his friends.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Jerry and friends in that respect. It is definitely the four of them. Their lives are now all very intertwined with each other.
One of whom is Jerry Seinfeld.
Even though one of them is Jerry Seinfeld, very successful, goes away, gigs, planes, all this kind of stuff isn't always there. When he comes back to New York, his life is very much embedded with those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
The story is about their life in New York. So having parity makes an awful lot of sense. It didn't feel like that earlier on, but it's definitely a lot more in that direction now. So I think, it's not one of the best, but it's very enjoyable. But it also feels notable, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's how I sum that up.
I think when you listen to next week's episode, I think my ranking of this, because we're gonna rank the episodes, our episodes, we're gonna come up with a definitive Hello Newman ranking. It's gonna be very exciting. I think my ranking reflects those thoughts that actually, this is Steve's thoughts and I'm adding my thoughts. This is very wrong.
That's fine.
But for me with the episode, there is a frustration that it is a setup for something else. So they are writing themselves to a point at which they wish to start the next season.
Sure.
But also, it shows the four characters kind of in the form that they are now fully formed. It is this group of four characters, not Jerry and three players to play around him, because you're getting characters like Newman and the like that are getting dropped into the mix now to play off the four main characters. So it's not the three support characters playing off Jerry, it's support characters playing off this core four players, you know. And some of the dialogue is fantastically well written because Larry Charles is a brilliant writer. But then there's this sort of frustration in me. It's like, but he's going to LA because you guys had an idea, I think, of how you wanted to start the next season. Sorry, Steve, I interrupted you.
No, that's quite all right.
Good.
I'm done anyway, so.
So do you have any further thoughts? Okay, you're done.
Yeah.
Those are my thoughts. If I just waited a second more, I could have just crashed in with my thoughts without feeling like I'd interrupted you. Damn. in many ways, Georgie is my spirit animal. Okay, so that is season 3. Done and dusted with episode 21, The Keys. Thank you for listening along this season. Please stick around to listen to our wrap-up next week. And then we will, the week after that, dive headlong into season 4, I would have thought, with an extended special.
Wow.
Yeah, we start with a two-parter, Steve.
No way.
Yes way.
Wow, we're entering a really tumescent season here in the Hello Newman.
I can't think of an episode of Hello Newman where I haven't been slightly tumescent, to be honest with you, Steve. So, I mean, I don't know, maybe for you it's different, but for me, no, definitely not. So, yeah, thank you for listening along. Please don't forget to rate and review us, which is always a good thing. Be sure to check out the excellent Stacey's Pop Culture Parlour, where Steve and I were interviewed. Well, we weren't, were we? We were asked to come along and talk. We were asked questions about Seinfeld, which we answered.
Quite well, I thought.
Very well. But Stacey's brilliant. It's if you're listening to us, there's every chance you're listening to Stacey's Pop Culture Parlour. If you're not, please do start with the episode with Steve and I, and then work your way back. Until then, we will hopefully get to talk to you next week when we wrap the season up. Until then, goodbye.
These cliffhangers are making me thirsty.
Very good.